Thank you.
Okay, I got it.
You know what I've been doing.
Okay, 1, 2. Tom is here.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll get them the sun.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome everyone. Calling the Committee on Environment to order. Do you want to call your
Hiding
order?
This is only an environment.
All right, I notice the presence of a quorum. We have Legislator Manzano, Legislator Kaplowitz, Vice Chair Legislator Rogowski, Legislator Abinanti. What we would like to do today, we have been asked to try to, in order for the blue sheet, we've got to get something out by 1:30.
Can we move it right now?
What we'd like to do is accept a motion, and then we will take a very brief comment.
So moved as second. Changes made.
All right. There were changes that were made last week. We have a second. We have just a couple of seconds for discussion and comment if we want to make the blue sheet tonight, if that is the will of the legislators tonight.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just comment, I think that you expressed some concerns about the language. I've read the language that you've revised. I think it's a major improvement. As one of the sponsors of the legislation, I accept those changes. I applaud your efforts, and thank you for working so promptly and trying to get this done. It's important that we get it out there, so thank you very much. So I would call the question.
Okay. I agree with Legislator Abinanti. I think you did exceptional work, Mr. Chair.
You're considering going to law school.
I appreciate your work, and I'm supportive of it.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the motion, the second. I would just like to say, in the spirit of fairness, if there are major howling objections to this, remember it's just a resolution. It doesn't have the power of law. I would just like to say
speak now or forever hold your peace.
If anyone in the audience has howling objections, of course we want to put them on the public record. This is your opportunity at this point in time. Otherwise, we can certainly have more discussion about the issues as we go on. But given the time sensitivity, it was requested by members of the community and legislators that we try and move on this tonight.
Mr. Chairman, further, we have all day today. If there are additions, we have a process to put it over to the next meeting if there is something that rises. So this is not the end of the process. This is just the end of the beginning. Gets us a chance to
move
this
forward. Calling for the Public Service Commission to get involved and start to have some real serious oversight and discussion with the companies involved.
Okay.
That's what it's
about. I agree with all my colleagues.
All right.
Great points.
Let me just say a few things. We're going to take a vote. I'd like to do two things after the vote. One, our colleagues from Con Ed are here and graciously offered to talk about the efforts in the cleanup. Their crews have been out, working their butts off. So we'd like to give them the opportunity to bring us up to date on the hard work that their crews are doing. I'd then like the committee to stay just 5 minutes for organizational reasons. I know we're all starving. Just stay for 5 minutes. Let's talk about an agenda moving forward so this committee reflects what you folks want to do. And so we'll just take 5 minutes. Okay.
I haven't heard any howls, Mr. Chairman, so I would ask that we move the question.
Okay, we'll move the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, so the resolution...
I have 1:30, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we'll make the blue sheet.
1:30, I got you.
All right, so we're going to sign. We're going to make the blue sheet. This will be on for tonight. We still have the power to revise, change, table, if people are so inclined.
Chicago.
We had a pounding storm. There were some power outages, both involving NYSEG and Con Ed, and I think it's safe to say that in the storm, their crews of both utilities I've seen, really working their butts off. And would you like to join us at the table, give us an update on the good work that your folks are doing, trying to get people back restored?
Mr. Chairman, can I make a comment while they're coming to the table?
What?
As someone who was out of power for 2 days, I'm not going to complain about their cleanup efforts. The only thing I would ask is that we find a better way of notifying people when the power is... We've had this
right,
discussion.
Mr. Abinanti, let them speak first, and then she can field questions and comments from us.
Without electricity, I couldn't go on the Internet.
No, we want to give her the opportunity. Please identify yourself for the record.
Sandy Miller, I'm the Director of Public Affairs for Con Edison in Westchester.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Okay. The storm response is still underway. We kind of tore ourselves away from that to come here. The storm began on Thursday night. We had a total of 50,200 customers that lost power. I'd say more in the western, northwestern and central part of the county than in the south. Most of the cities really didn't get much of anything. More of the towns and a lot of the villages got really hit. We have now, yesterday and today, we've had more than 350 crews. You may not see the Con Ed blue truck. It's the Con Ed trucks, any contractors that we could get, and foreign crews from Pennsylvania and Ohio, because all the utilities in the area got hit. So we really could, we usually use each other. We couldn't do that this time because everyone was holding on to their own. So we've got crews out there. We're down. It always gets tougher at the end. Today we started with 3,500 customers out. These are the tough ones, small outages, lots of damage. We have probably an unprecedented number of singles, 500 singles. That takes a lot of time. We're estimating by...
Could you clarify, what would constitute a single? Like
a service line.
Okay, to the house.
To the house.
Or the apartment.
Right,
okay.
To the house.
To the house.
You can't estimate how many people, can you? It's 3,500 places.
3,500 customers.
Right, so that could be one person or that could
be
an apartment building.
Yeah, right. Most of it, since I'm saying it's mostly residential. It's in the villages and in the northern part.
Right.
And it goes across to Newcastle and North Carolina, but very little on the Sound Shore, very little in the southern part of the county.
Do you have chart indicating what caused the outages?
We have not a chart that's on a wall, but yes, we know if the feeder came down because of a wire, somebody hit something, we would know that. Going a little bit on tree trimming, not the transmission line right-of-way trimming, but on the distribution trimming, we just finished the 3-year cycles that we started after the 2006 storms, so 2007 through 2009. We enhanced the space around our wires. We can see just from the way a lot of branches didn't break, some did in the storm, but many came very low. If that canopy space had not been expanded, we probably would have been right up there with Central Hudson with the numbers. So the 50,000 would have been very more increased.
Well, that's why I'm asking the question, because I'd like to have that discussion somewhere along the way. It doesn't have to be today, but somewhere along the way, have a discussion of what we can learn from this, probably one of the worst storms that we have seen, and hopefully the worst that we will see for a long time. Because I think there, we still are concerned on this other subject of trees, of is there a way to better trim without decimating trees? How many of these were failures because of trees? How many of these were failures because of something else?
In this particular storm, we're looking at almost all trees. This was an almost all tree storm, all branches that came down. Not as many, and I think for the effective of the distribution right-of-way trimming, we didn't see as many trees like completely uprooted, where that might have been a tree that really should have been taken down at some point, which we saw a lot of that in 2006. So we have arborists on staff that went out and worked with our tree contractors, and I think we identified some trees that probably looked pretty good at the time in neighborhoods, and we took them down, and we found out they really were diseased inside. And so those trees would have come down in a storm like this. So we're down to hopefully the last 2 days. We hope by tomorrow night, the end of tomorrow night, we'll have everyone back. And the one thing we're encouraging, we put in our press release today and we've been out on the media, single customers that have said to themselves, oh, they'll get to me, that we're encouraging them, please call us, because we're not aware of an outage unless you call. So in a neighborhood where there's only one customer out, we like to make sure they call in.
Okay, Legislator Rogowski, Legislator Kaplowitz, Legislator.
Thank you for coming. So you have two questions. On that single, I had one personal example, and I just assuming there are others out there, the Portchester Housing Authority, the whole, not this time, the storm a couple years ago, whole authority went out, but it came, all the power was into one line and kind of had a single user, because it's just the way it came in.
Yeah.
And so in terms of your priorities, as I say, you go to the bigger credits. And there were like 100 families, but because of your system, so I just ask you to make, you know, hopefully other people aren't suffering at this. So we look at your singles, are they really singles?
As part of that 2000 learning experience in 2006, we now have a teleconference call with all the municipalities for every day we have a storm. So we've had, since Friday, we've had one. I had one just with the group before I left. At that point, every municipal official is invited, every police department, fire department, DPW crews are on it.
To help you
they will tell us if there's some, whether it's a sewage treatment plant, a water treatment plant. something that's a critical nature that might be one customer.
Right.
Those are the ones, and we elevate those.
Okay, I want to make sure, because
yeah.
I know...
And that, those were some of the lessons learned, I
right.
think, in 2006.
Okay, good. My other question is, I guess, just looking at this, to try to comment, obviously you were doing the tree trimming for distributions, and
yes.
as you get into your studies, as Tom was alluding to, my first question is, the east side of the county, I mean, as I you know, look
yeah.
at the news stories of where the outages were, for some reason, they all pretty much seemed to be on the western side. Now, it was, I mean, assuming that's true.
Right? No.
Were you home or
no.
were you in Arizona?
Well, actually, I wasn't home, but I
no.
was...
You would know why. I drove, our offices are in Rye, and I drove from North Castle.
So it was a lot of...
It was totally...
It was temperature.
Right.
It was the temperature during the storm. Heavy snow versus very little snow. I mean, Julia, I think you live on the sound
yeah,
side.
Yeah, but we were much different from
yeah.
my plane.
It was just a different
two
world.
We had 8 inches.
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't. All right. So the east side of the county just got a lot
right
less.
Three times.
You, they were just lucky. They didn't get the
your district did better very well, by the way.
It's good things I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Put out a press release. They passed legislation that...
Okay.
What's that?
All right. Legislator.
And I've said this before, but if we could move to a smarter electric meter, it would then notify the grid that it's out, and you would not have to have individuals have to call in. It's crazy in 2010 that we still don't have an interactive system that allows for a train grid to say this train is stuck, not wait for the conductor to have to call in to say, by the way, I'm stuck in a tunnel somewhere. So we all need to work hard.
We're working on some pilots on that.
Because,
work,
I mean, yeah. Sandy, you did underscore how the work you have to do then to determine if you're out, and the meetings you have to have, and all the groups that have to come through. It's very expensive to do all that, very time-consuming, and you can't necessarily move those groups in the middle of a snowstorm, when transportation's difficult, when lines can be down by definition, so you can't even get through to people. So I just, Mr. Chairman, I feel it necessary to continue to underscore how it literally can save lives if we need to, you know, we need to move in that direction.
Well, the beneficial thing is we have the chair of the Environment Committee sitting right here, so as we... Energy Committee. So I'm sorry. As we consider
yes.
our agendas for the coming year, though,
but,
certainly.
But for sure. The second thing is it does, Mr. Chairman, and I want to go to the ticket, because I did have a constituent. The irony is the one constituent that had the most difficulty was a single, and the only way she got service, and your people were very nice. Thank you very much, Cindy, and appreciated the callbacks and all the like. But out days into it, there was no ticket. This person continually called, and... It got to the point where late last night they finally said, well, let's create a ticket because we don't even officially know that you're out. And she had been out since Thursday and was not shy because I got called multiple times. She finally got service because she went down and found a truck on a corner in Yorktown and waved them down. And these people, the truck was very nice to come over and to restore the service. But we need to, in lieu of these then technological ways of finding out, if you can somehow tighten that up. I guess it's just a constructive criticism.
Yeah, I mean,
to tighten
we
up.
Answered, you know, probably hundreds of thousands of calls. And yes,
I know, but
wasn't
this,
the, yeah, that,
well, she
I
was
like
she was a
either.
Number of times. Yeah, and it was,
yeah,
and I was
like
disappointed
to hear,
too.
But that is how we know.
It's right, and
yeah.
it's tough enough to triage, you know, allocate and get out there. And if you're one versus a street of 100, right, it's hard to be the one because potentially the resources
yeah.
go to the 100 to save 100 instead of all the work that has to be done for one. We understand that. But the frustrating part was to find out into last night, days into this thing, when I spoke to your staff and then they confirmed with her, we officially don't know who you are, ma'am. And he opened up a ticket at that particular point, and that was not acceptable. There has to be a tighter
yeah.
system. If you could please...
Yes.
Work on
and
that.
And I know we have that one because you're calling it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you
yeah.
for that. Third point, Mr. Chairman, is just because it ties in nicely. It was a good placement to have the storm in conjunction with this meeting and this moratorium that we were considering because it does underscore the bookends. I mean, we are not unmindful of the fact that reliability of electricity transmission and distribution is critical. It's the profit-making end of Con Edison, but it is something that we're concerned about because people are very upset, and rightfully so, when the power goes out. We get it. And since we can't control the weather, we have no, despite our grandiose beliefs as to what we can and can't do as legislators, we can't do anything in that regard. So I think this resolution in calling for a moratorium, in essence what a parent would call a timeout, is appropriate. Because it's working to try to create the balance, the reasonableness, the common sense
that we've all been asking for. And it's just not commonsensical and reasonable, and there is no balance when you come through and just create, you know, some of the more difficult language you put in here, but those terrible pictures that we saw and what we know to be the case. That's just, there's nothing to be gained by that. And whether it's the contractor that's hired and that's a little overzealous, or the contractor that's hired that isn't quite on the appropriate supervisory leash that they should be, this moratorium basically says it's serious, it's significant, we recognize the balance, and you need to stop, and we need to do something different. Because we want reliability, but we can't have a scorched earth just run through and cut down all the trees and then hope that it grows back and someday we're gonna create reasonableness. That's not fair either. And so I think we've begun to help restore that balance, and I look forward to working with Con Edison and the citizens to find out where we need to come in at. And we need to bring the Public Service Commission also in off of the August 14th, 2003 ledge to recognize what was the problem, what in fact did occur, and what's a real solution on the ground, not simply a Albany-driven, you know, we've solved the problem, wave the magic wand, everything is done. Because that's just not, I think, balanced and reasonable for our constituents and our communities. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And to your point about the supervisory aspect, that's why we added those two points into the resolution, because that came out of the testimony last week. I'll turn it over to you in 1 second. What I wanted to add, following up on Legislator Kaplowitz's earlier point, just a pat on the back to your men and women who are out in the cold on the front line. I've had three different constituents from sort of the Mount Kisco Newcastle line,
which was very severely hit.
Right. Say that their entree to Con Edison was through people on the trucks on their street. So just know under bad circumstances that your employees are representing you well. Under very tough circumstances.
Technology isn't working.
They've had a tough week.
You know, they've had a tough week.
Technology isn't working.
They can
right.
be allow, cranky. Allow. And maybe, you know, some elements, the technical elements are failing, but the human people are at least as what I've heard, have been representing you well and really working
we're good
hard.
To, we're
so.
Glad to hear that.
Thanks.
Two points. The first one, I have to ask the question because I'm going to get asked this question by a lot of people in my neighborhood, in my district, who were very upset at all the tree trimming. With all that tree trimming, why did the wires still come down?
Wires still came down, but as I said, we were looking ahead. We were looking at how many wires came down and the clearances that we had cut. We would have probably had double or triple the number of people that out.
If so we had you're not going to go out now and cut them more.
We've done our enhanced tree trimming.
Well, that's for 3 years. But what about now?
Well,
started.
We go back, but a lot of that has been completed.
What can
now
we do to get a little better communication and have an impact on what you do? I mean, you heard Legislator Cousins' legislation proposal, and you heard my response. How do we develop something so that after the community spends all this time and effort, that your guys actually listen to them? You know, I mean, I understand what you're trying to do. But at the same time, I'd like to have this, we don't have to do this today, but I'd like to continue this discussion of how do we have an impact.
Okay. Sir.
Yeah, I would like to address a couple of items. One is, I'm just curious, were there any transmission lines?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I thought you were responding to the
question. Well, you're
going back to I'll get back to you in a second then.
This is the local distribution system that was affected by the storm. This was local distribution, not the transmission.
Not the transmission.
I mean, we can address that with our transmission specialist, but I don't know, George, were there any?
Is this the time you want to discuss?
You want to discuss that? I mean, he's asking about the storm, if any of
if you want to address that. I'm sorry,
my question is really tying it both together. In other words, I hear that there were distribution maintenance that's gone on, and you're expressing that it helped a lot.
Yes.
And that's a good thing. And the type of cutting that you've done on the distribution lines has been much more sensitive than what you've done on transmission lines. So you're still going to lose trees. You're always going to lose trees in a storm like this. You're never going to protect the distribution lines 100%. We all know that. It can't happen. My question is, were there any transmission outages? Were there any transmission lines impacted in areas where the trimming, where the right-of-way clearing has not occurred? And really, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, we're focusing on distribution, and you trim around the wires, it makes sense. Trees still come down, take them out. You're never going to get away from that.
No, we try to reduce the impact.
You reduce the impact. But that doesn't have the devastating impact.
We're talking two different.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's a good question, though. Was there any area that you haven't yet trimmed where there was any problems?
Well, as of December 2009, we did complete our efforts to widen the right-of-ways, meaning we took out all the undesirable species from property line to property line. So the answer to the question is no, we did not have any impact, negative impact to the transmission system. And that type of weather, icing and wind, is a very big concern for us, not only the trees. So we did do, it impacted our crews since we had to be out on the system, making sure that everything was safe and sound. But we did not have any sustained outages. We did not have any momentary trip outs. And we really attribute that to a lot of the tree trimming and vegetation management work that has been happening over the last 3 years.
Dean?
That triggers the question that I think really needs
to
be.
Sure, would you also just identify yourself for the record?
Yeah, Gene Paul in Pleasantville, New York.
Okay, thank you.
I think what the board needs to do is to look at the Public Service Commission's decree. In other words, I know we were shown diagrams under the wires, the clearances, how as you move away from the wire, it's a bell curve in terms of the height of the trees that are acceptable. Was that followed? That's my biggest complaint, that I believe that if we analyze what the Public Service Commission's edict was to Con Ed, that due to interpretation, failure to supervise, they did not follow that edict.
Somebody, you guys want to respond?
I really came just to brief you on a bunch of
pieces. Yeah, you don't have to.
I brought our subject matter experts on transmission. I don't know if you want to have each person come up and say, but then we can comment on something as you.
Well, you know, put it this way. We passed the resolution, so that's certainly passed. That's public record. That's the intent of this body, and I think that addresses your specific question about the PSC. You know, if in fairness, if you want to address that, you can. I think, you know, we're talking more about the storm. Yeah, you know, we're trying to juggle two conversations.
Yeah, I wanted the storm first, just to kind of
we appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask that in the future we again, because I've put in legislation, the same legislation that I introduced several years ago. I'd like to continue this conversation probably in the future about how we can more accommodate the aesthetics of our community and the environment of our community, and at the same time, not impair the power. But I don't think we want to deal with that issue today.
Yeah,
I would like to raise, though, is a very small technical issue, and that's this communication issue. You know, you call the number. I called the number, gave him my account number, and they said, well, you can follow progress online, or we'll call you back. One, I never got a call back, and two, since I don't have any electricity, I can't go online. Now, I would suggest that maybe one way you can do it was with email. Most people will not get that, but those of us who have BlackBerries at least, because that's still working. That's a small number of people.
Yeah.
So if there's some way that you can enter your account number and get an update, the system says that you can, but it doesn't. So that is crucial in planning. I mean, because we had a long-term outage. We went out Thursday night. We didn't come back until Saturday. And the planning is simple. I mean, it's how long do you stay in the house when it's cold? I mean, we built the fire. You know, it was survival for 2 days. I have a generator. I tried to start it on Friday. I couldn't get it started. But we didn't know when it was coming back. So by the time I got it started, I kind of take credit for having the lights back in my neighborhood, because as I was driving back in with the generator, the lights went on. You know, it was that kind of thing. But it's from a planning point of view, especially those people who have kids or elderly people, if they could get, I know it's difficult, and Mike's suggestion of the meters, et cetera, is might give you more information. But I think you really have to address that technological issue so that people can plan.
And we are always working on that.
I understand, but again, I make that point. And it's the communication issue of, I actually went to somebody somewhere else, went online, and saw your nice little map and clicked on it, And it told me that my neighborhood was going to be back by Saturday night. It was actually back in 6 hours earlier by Saturday afternoon. So I applaud that. Okay, but it's still a question.
People, if many times if they're going to work the next day, even if it was the house was out, we encourage them when they get to work, go online and then
right.
check the status.
But on the other hand, there are people who went to a hotel.
Yeah.
And the worst thing for them is, they go to a hotel and then the lights are back on. And now they're saying, it was nice to spend time at a hotel, but we really would have preferred to save the money. So I don't know how you, I'm not technologically savvy enough, but I just want to relate the problem on behalf of those people who saw that problem. And maybe there's some other things, some other technical information. A lot of people may not know that their heat work, that their hot water works if they have gas when the electricity's out. I had a neighbor who pointed that out to me, and not being technologically savvy, I didn't realize that, so we just took a lot of hot showers. So you stay warm. But in a fireplace. But these are the types of things that I think people on the street are looking at. I mean, in this case, I didn't get a lot of howls about how long it took Con Edison to get, because of, I think everybody understood the severity of the storm.
Yeah, but it was hard because the first 24 hours we really, just to try to get around was the biggest accomplishment.
Right.
To get our crews in.
But that planning issue, after that time period, now people start to look and say, okay, what do I do next? And how do
I... Yeah, and I said, we're always struggling with our communications efforts, the new efforts with the municipalities, because they many times get calls from customers, so by updating them every day as a group, they can feel some of the questions themselves, especially the police departments get questions. They get updated in that call.
Right. But if there is some way that somebody could plug in and say that I want to be able to... I mean, even just calling in.
Yeah.
And then an additional number, so that the information that's on your website could be accessed by telephone. I don't know how you do that, but if there's a way of doing that, where you give...
We're always looking at new...
Because the website at least was somewhat helpful.
We know it's the most important piece in a storm.
Right. All right, thank you.
Anyway, but bear with us. We will have everyone back. Mm-hmm. We'll come for tomorrow.
Well, thank you for coming in. We know you're busy, and thank you for your efforts, and thank the folks out on the line for all their
doing. They've had the toughest job.
All right, any more storm questions? All right, we'll finish that. Now, any other comments pertaining to the resolution that we passed? Yes, ma'am.
MJ Wilson Irvington. I just want to go on record. I don't know if I'll be able to come tonight because I've got a conflict from a rescheduled meeting from last week. But I didn't lose power, so I just want to go on record for that, so I don't have the same kind of emotional investment as many other people do. But I'm concerned about the two issues becoming muddied together. The individual home power, the street grid versus the the high power, high voltage lines, and while the snow was falling, I was concerned about my trees, my branches. I was like out shaking trees and stuff, all that other stuff. But I was also wondering that I was seeing the mass of liquid that was falling, and wondering what type of stormwater issues we were going to have during the melt. And to me, the trees that were removed. The excessive trees that were removed along those corridors is going to acerbate that problem. If we have a rapid melt, there's going to be areas that are going to be slammed significantly. And I want to make sure that is considered with this whole idea of getting the moratorium and having a smarter, better way of doing this.
Our flood legislation is going to become a lot more necessary. Yeah. But that's a very valid point.
All right, thank you. It's a
very valid point.
It's noted. Thank you for adding that to the record. Any other comments? Yes, sir, please.
My name is Mike Green. I'm from Yonkers. On that subject, there's already reports of some water seepage into the towers on Central Avenue. I forget the numbers. They're behind the Chrysler dealer. They're butted up right against the transmission lines. They haven't had water in their garages before. It's a large garage for an apartment building. They do now seem to have some water coming in since these trees were cut down. So... what you were saying, we've already seen some instance of it in Yonkers.
Okay. Any other comments? Questions? Okay, so the resolution will be on the agenda for the full board this evening. We have a public comment period. Everyone's welcome to come add further comments tonight if you'd like. Do we have a motion? I think what I'd like to do procedurally, since some of our members aren't here, we'll table the discussion about future issues, but you've certainly mentioned a few. We'll do that at our next meeting. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What's up? We on 5 o'clock?
Oh, yes.